Now it's time to talk about Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide, so in comes Jeremy Finlayson from GWS, as well as pick 12 and a future third round pick. Out Peter Laddams to Sydney. That went right down to the hammer. Pick 16 and a future third round pick. Now, Port Adelaide list manager is Jason Cripps. He joins us this morning. Cripper, good morning to you. How are you feeling? Are you happy?
Yeah, good morning. Look, we're pretty pleased with what we achieved in the end throughout the trade period. Obviously, we still got the draft to come, so our philosophy has always been to sort of look at that period as a whole in terms of what we're trying to achieve. But, up to this point, we're pretty happy with what we've been able to do.
Jason McCartney yesterday at GWS made it known that Jeremy Finlayson had put his position on the table 3 months ago. When did Port Adelaide realise there was an opportunity to get Jeremy Finlayson at Alberton?
I'm not exactly sure of the exact time, Mike Lamslow, but it was certainly a number of weeks ago. We were made aware of his intentions to look at possibly come to Adelaide for a number of reasons, and also looking for a fresh start. And we thought it was an opportunity for someone who's obviously pretty talented. He's 25. He's kicked 44 goals in a season in which the Giants made the grand final, and he's averaged nearly 1.7 goals a game the last three seasons. So we certainly thought it was someone who could add to our list and improve our list.
What do you see as his best area, mate? Is he potentially that Peter Laddams role? Is he a full-time forward? What do you envision his input could be in the 23?
Yeah, I think his best position is up forward. He's got the ability to obviously second ruck. He's also played down back, but yeah, we certainly think his best position is as a forward.
And that pretty well answers an obvious call. We've been assessing Port Adelaide as needing that second go-to forward to help Charlie Dixon get some defenders off his back. Is that the way you saw it as well, Jason?
Yeah, that's in part. I suppose when you look at our list profile, and Charlie's turning 32 next year, and we've got, obviously Marshall, who's just about to turn, he's 24 next year, and Georgiades is 21. So we thought to have someone in between those guys would be ideal. So it's as much a list decision for the short and the long term also.
Chris Davies closed the season saying that, and the exit meeting saying, no Port Adelaide player had asked to be traded. So were you surprised that Peter Laddams put himself in that frame in the end?
Yeah, well, not really. I suppose sometimes when you have these discussions, they're ongoing behind the scenes with their manager all the time with all the players on your list. And just in terms of where they currently sit, where they may sit in the future, what opportunities they have at their current club, what opportunities may present themselves elsewhere. And sometimes these discussions just evolve and are ongoing. And that's where we landed with Peter.
So when Ken Inkley spoke to Peter Laddams on Monday to what was defined, get some clarity in all this, what was Port Adelaide seeking from Peter Laddams at that time?
Oh, we're just making Pete aware that, obviously he was a contracted player. We thought he still had the capabilities to play a role at our club if we weren't able to secure a suitable deal. And in the end, we're pleased with the deal we're able to do. We set out to, I think, which we made, pretty clear from day one that, the cornerstone of any deal that would involve Pete was improving our draft position in the first round. We're able to do that moving from pick 16 to 12, which we believe to be significant in this draft in terms of the talent further up that end of the draft and the different types that we believe will be available. So that was really important. I would say that also then bringing a future third. So if you look at the whole, we basically were able to bring in Finlayson for Laddams, and also then upgrade from pick 16 to pick 12.
It seems like a massive win there. So in terms of this number 12 pick, is there a particular area of the field that you're targeting?
We'll just be looking at the most talented player. That's always been our philosophy. And we've obviously been doing a lot of work to see what that looks like, and we'll continue to do so. We've obviously still got a number of weeks and a fair bit to work through. But yeah, we're certainly excited around what Pick 12 might be for us.
Jason, can we get some clarity on what Hawthorn was all about with Port Adelaide? Was there Tom Mitchell? Was there Jager O'Meara? Was there Chad Wingard?
It's a good question, Michael Angelo, because I was reading a lot of and hearing a lot about that during the last few weeks. But I can tell you that we didn't have any discussions about any Hawthorn players. We had a couple of discussions with people at Hawthorn in relation to other possible trades involving picks, but at no stage was there any discussions around any of their players.
Now, the other interesting one is Sam Palpepper. What was the story there?
Yeah, it's a little similar to Pete in terms of opportunity to play, obviously, in a different role. Sam sees himself as, a genuine inside mid, and obviously we've got Ollie Wines, who's a pretty good player, winning the Brownlow, and then Willem Drew, who improved significantly this year, and they're both similar types to Sam, you could say. So he probably got squeezed out a little bit and spent more time forward than he would have liked. And again, we just had some open conversations around what that might look like for Sam going forward. He would like some more midfield opportunities. We explored that with him and his manager. For opportunities for him at other clubs, obviously didn't eventuate, but we're really, really happy that Sam's still on our list, and he's still relatively young in terms of football terms, and we're hoping he can have a really big pre-season and really push his case to get more opportunities through the midfield.
So, Jason, who do you still have out of contract, and where do they stand on your list decisions for the next few weeks?
We've got Stephen Motlop. I think he'll be contracted for next year. We're not far off tying that one away. We've also got Sam Mays, Jared Leenert, Lloyd Woodcock. We just need to make some decisions around those guys over the next couple of weeks. We obviously wanted to get through the trade period, see where we sat in relation to that. And obviously Trent Burgoyne's also another one who's a rookie listed player who's out of contract. So, yeah, we've still got a little bit of work to do and some decisions to make in those areas.
In terms of those decisions, in terms of your list lodgement, do you have to make some cuts, or could potentially all of those guys stay on?
I know we've got some flexibility in terms of what we do in terms of numbers on our list. It's just what opportunities may present themselves with other delisted free agents, what we want to do with the draft. There's still a little bit of work to do before we make those final decisions.
Jason, there'll be a reaction from the Port Adelaide fans saying some needs were exposed by the end of the year, particularly in that final against the Western Bulldogs. Was there pressure to bring in an experienced midfielder, or are you truly believing that development of your own talent that you've stockpiled at Port Adelaide will get you through?
It's a really good question, Michelangelo, and The short answer is we're always looking to improve our list, and no doubt that would be through our midfield as well, but we're pretty specific around the type of midfielder that we wanted to bring in and I suppose what level of talent and skill set that they possessed. So it's a pretty narrow market. But in saying that, we're really bullish on the growth from within. Butters, Rosie, Dersmer, if you look at their history and even prior to them being at our club and through their junior years, all had the capacity to play midfield. So we're really the strong belief that over time, those guys are really, really young. I mean, they turn 22 next year. Obviously, two of those guys had serious injuries this year that hampered their development through the midfield. But we think they can go. Miles Bergman is another one who we think's got a skill set and a talent to go through the midfield. Obviously, Carl Amon was All-Australian 40. Ollie Wines won the Brownlow, touched on Willem Drew. They're a really young group, and we want to expose them to opportunities. It is an interesting discussion because you've got to be careful not to overreact And I think there's a fine line with that with what happened in the preliminary final. That you know, we were beaten badly, and it was a really disappointing result. But in terms of if you want to look isolation, the midfield that ran out that night actually ran out against the Bulldogs 2 weeks earlier, and the same midfield actually did a pretty good job that night. We won the game. So sometimes you need to be careful not to overreact, but in saying that, we're certainly not sitting here saying that it's perfect and that it can't improve, but we generally believe our biggest improvement is going to come from the players that currently sit on our list and the young talent that we've got coming through.
Okay. Port Adelaide list manager Jason Cripps joins us this morning on 1629 SENSA. Cripper, Scotty Lysett's the man. He has been and he will continue to be over the next sort of couple of years. We know that Laddams is out. So what's the next stage of progression or expectations for Sam Hayes?
Yeah, look, we've got a lot of faith in Sam Hayes, and you know, we believe that he's arguably the best ruckman outside of AFL teams, or in terms of not being given an opportunity of those AFL listed players who actually played a game. He's come off a knee reconstruction. He's come off COVID with, you know, two disruptions in terms of his development. But we've got real high hopes for Sam. He's got really, really strong ruck craft. He's a big, strong fella. He's not too dissimilar to what Scotty Lysett was at the same when Scotty was at that age. We know that ruckmen take time to develop. They mature physically. You know, take a little bit longer, but we're really pleased with Sam's development. And we just thought it was the right time that he needs to step up and be given an opportunity. You know, obviously Scotty's our number one ruck and he's done a fantastic job for us. We still think he's got plenty of footy left in front of him also. So, yeah, we're really, really confident in the two guys we've got, but we just thought it was time that we gave Sam Hayes, I suppose, a pathway to being given some opportunities, and we're looking forward to what that may look like for us in the future.
For your AFL side, do you still think it's either one or the other, either Lysett or Hayes playing? They couldn't coexist in the same team?
Oh, that's not for me to decide. I'd leave that to Kenny and the coaches and the match committee. I suppose our role is pretty clear with list management and recruiting team, just to give the coaches the best list we can in terms of obviously flexibility and options, and then it's up for them to decide how they want to mix and match.
Jason, can you give me an insight as to what it is like today? I imagine pre-COVID, there were Melbourne cafes that made a fortune out of AFL list managers and their coffee sessions. How's it been this year and the past one?
That's a really interesting question, Michelangelo, because we're still in lockdown over here and have been for about 18 months. So it's just that we're sort of getting used to that's how we live. So we're all working from home. We're obviously on the phone a lot. Certainly a different dynamic to what it previously was. Obviously, like you said, a lot more obviously face-to-face discussion and deals were done predominantly in an environment where you're able to get together, but it's certainly been a bit different. But again, you've just got to adjust and adapt. Now, it was an interesting trade period. I think it's been well documented. Probably the flattest trade period that I've certainly been involved in since that, for a long, long way out. I think obviously the number one factor of that was the fact that clubs had to reduce their TPP off the back of COVID and the impact that it had. You know, there were certainly a lot of clubs that were hamstrung in their capacity to improve their list, either through, you know, financial implications or list sizes. So it was a really flat period.
Mate, what's your take on the length of the trade period? Obviously, the fans absolutely love it. They consume it. But does it go for too long?
This is my personal view. I think 7 to 10 days is okay. You could certainly get away with 7 to... I think what needs to be understood is there's a lot of discussions, obviously, that lead up to that period. We were able to actually facilitate deals. But sometimes opportunities pop up in that period that you weren't expecting, or player managers weren't expecting you. You then need some time to be able to do due diligence on potential players that pop up late, whether it be opportunities to interview them, do medical screening, etc. So you do need a period to be able to execute all of that due diligence. But that's just my view. I think 7 to 10 days is enough.
Jason, did you miss your old sparring partner, Adrian Dodoro, from Essendon this year?
I did, actually. I didn't have any conversations with Adrian, but I've got a great relationship with Adrian. I've got a lot of respect for him. I think he's done a terrific job. He obviously did an outstanding job last year with the players he selected at the draft. And he drives a hard bargain for his club, but I look forward to working with him again at some point.
I'm sure there'll be a sequel.
Jason, congratulations on the trade period, mate. We look forward to the draft and see what happens with that pick 12, but we'll check in with you again really soon.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jason.